I want to speak today on commitment. And you know, I like to look words up in the dictionary to make sure that the word is fitting what I want to talk about. And of course, one of the definitions of commitment was to commit somebody to like an asylum. But that's not what we're talking about today. So some of you can quit hiding. But basically, it means this: the act of binding yourself intellectually or emotionally to a course of action. For example, his long commitment to public service, an engagement by contract involving financial obligation. For example, you go out and buy a car, and you make a commitment to the bank or to whoever to pay for that car. Now, I know there are some folks that go out and buy one, and fortunately, there's a few people that can go out and pay cash, but most people go out and they have to make that commitment. Some people go out and they make that commitment, but then they don't honor that commitment. They maybe make a payment or two and say, let the bank try to find the car now. It's also the trait of sincere and steadfast fixity of purpose. For example, a man of energy and commitment. It's a message that makes a pledge. It's an act of committing to a charge or a trust. It's an agreement to pledge to do something in the future. You know, sometimes churches, around the first part of the year, especially as they're preparing, they will ask people to make a commitment to give to certain things that year. And just as we as a church have made a commitment to give to certain ministries to help them throughout the year, we have made that pledge to them. It's something pledged. It's the state or an instance of being obligated or emotionally impelled, a commitment to a cause. And I think today probably we want to talk more about a commitment to a cause. I really don't like to get up and preach messages on making commitments to financial, do this or do that, and you know, you make this commitment. And I remember working in printing years ago, and we did the printing for a particular denomination's section in Southern California. And every year we printed thousands of envelopes. These were pledge envelopes. And they gave these out. And they said to the people, you make the commitment of what you are going to give to the church this year. And if you didn't honor your commitment to it, they sent you a little reminder notice that you hadn't met your commitment. And I don't really like doing that. I believe that when God speaks to our hearts, we will obligate ourselves to do the commitment that God wants us to do. And sometimes as we're being ministered to, and maybe we feel, this is the thing I need to do. And when God speaks to your heart and lays it upon your heart to give, then I believe you should give. But what I want to do is speak about commitment to a cause. Are we committed to a cause? There are people out in the world that are desperately committed to certain causes. And we see them sometimes on the news, and maybe they're out picketing, or maybe they're marching, or maybe they're wearing a certain color on a certain day to show their commitment to that cause. And one of the big things I think that we see a lot of, at least I happen to notice we see a lot of here in Middle Tennessee, is the commitment, for example, to breast cancer as a cause. And we see the people that wear the pink ribbons, and we see pink this and pink that as a commitment or a sign of commitment to the cause to help defeat that particular disease. The Bible tells us in Psalms chapters 37, verse 5, commit thy ways unto the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. In Proverbs 16:3, it goes on to say, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. And if we read that same verse in the complete Jewish Bible, it reads this way: if you entrust all you do to Adonai, your plans will achieve success. And you know, sometimes our definition of success is not the same as God's definition of success. A lot of people look and say, well, as a church, for example, you're not successful if you don't have hundreds of people attending your service. You're not successful if you don't have a big, large, gorgeous building. You're not successful if your budget isn't in the millions of dollars. You're just not successful if you don't have these things. But you know what? That is not the way God looks at success. Some of the most successful churches in God's viewpoint may be some of the little ones out there that are struggling to get by, but they are committed to the purpose of serving God and to spreading the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and letting people know what God can do and how God can make a difference in their life. And although they may struggle to do this and it may be a hardship for some of them, God looks down and says, do you see them? They're successful. It's just like in the book of Job when Satan poured out all of these obstacles upon Job and all of these challenges and was allowed to do anything to Job that he wanted to do except take his life. God looked down and said, do you see my servant Job? He's a man after my heart. To be successful, you've got to follow God's will. You've got to follow God's plan. And if you follow God's plan and you do your best to be what God wants you to be, then you will truly be successful. Does that mean you'll drive a Mercedes-Benz or a Cadillac or a Bentley? No way. You may be driving a 10-year-old clunker, but you are still successful in God's eyes. And you know what? It's what's successful in God's eyes is what counts, because what's successful in man's eyes isn't going to be worth a hill of beans in a few years. Either Jesus is going to come and it's not going to matter, or you're going to go to the grave and it's still not going to matter. The Hebrew word used for commit can also be translated trust. What is our trust in God? What is our commitment to God? Do we have a commitment? And it's sad to say, I believe there are a lot of churches out there today that really don't have a commitment to God. Oh yes, they have commitments. They have a commitment to this and this and this and this project, and we're going to do this. And not to say that they're not doing some good works, but where is their commitment to God to see that the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ goes forth to a lost and dying world? Unfortunately, today the gospel that is going forth is sometimes a gospel of quote-unquote prosperity or how to get rich or how to be successful, and it is not telling you what you've got to change on the inside to be successful with God. I don't care if I'm successful with man. I just want to be successful with God. I want Him to be the one that looks down and says, well done. Sure, it's nice to hear from man once in a while, you did a good job. We all like to hear that you did a good job. But I don't care if man never tells me that. If God tells me I've done a good job, that's the one I want to hear it from. Because that's the one that counts. You see, man is not going to be one standing at the judgment seat someday, passing judgment on me. It's going to be God. What is our commitment? Are we really committed? Is our debt, where are we really committed? You know, I look around and I remember, and none of you here, to my knowledge, have ever been there other than Mary and myself, but I remember as we went to Guyana in 1984, we looked around and we tried to find out information about what to expect when we got there. We got on the plane, the couple that went with us, flew to Guyana, having no idea what to expect when we got off that plane. Now, Larry and Terry might be a little more aware of the next part, but when we got off the plane, as we're landing in the jungle in Guyana, miles outside of Georgetown, we look at all the military installation around us and the Guyanese army, and you feel like almost that you were landing in an armed camp. And I'm sure if you, and there have been places you've been that you've seen that same thing. And you get out and you go and you go into town and you see all of this stuff that's going on. And you see what the people were going through, and the people that are escorting you, clustering around you to make sure that nobody picks your pocket or tries to rob you while you're in the midst of this crowd. Because the people there were hurting. They were struggling. A lot of them had almost nothing. And that's how they got by, some of them, by what they could steal. Sad to say, but that's the way a lot of people had to live. We went to church, though. A lot of people didn't have cars. Some lived miles from the church. But they had a commitment to come out and hear the gospel. And they came out even if they had to walk for hours in the heat. And we won't sometimes do it if we got to drive for 15 minutes without air conditioning. But they would come out, they would walk for miles, they would be there night after night. They had a commitment to God. And yet here we are, blessed with all the luxuries that we have. We have nice pews to sit on. So comfortable, some sit there and snooze. We have nice carpeting. We have air conditioning. We have heat in the winter. We have all the niceties that can be afforded to us. But yet, if the least little thing comes along, our commitment to come and serve God goes out the window. Well, I just can't do that today. It's too much, you know. Where is that commitment? Now, this is kind of like, you know, preaching to the choir here, because you're here today. And I know some aren't here today because they're sick. And God understands that if you're not here when you're sick. I don't want you to be here when you've got the flu, you know. And some are on vacation, and God understands that. But I'm talking about, there are people out there who claim to be Christians who say, oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. And they won't darken the door of a church, but maybe once a year. There is no commitment to God. And yet when trouble comes along, the first thing they do is they cry out, oh God, help me. It's our dedication, our allegiance, our loyalty. Is it first and foremost to God? Or is it first and foremost to the Titans? Of course, right now, I don't know that anybody's got first and foremost to the Titans, but maybe I better use a different example there. But there are people who would not go to church if their favorite football team was playing at that particular time. Well, I guess maybe that's why God allowed them to invent DVRs. You should record it and watch it later if you're that dedicated to it. We want to put other things in place of serving God. Them first, God second. Well, maybe no, let's change that. Them first, something else second, and God third. No, let's change that. Them first, something else, something else. And then God's weeks. The next thing we know, God's 10th or 15th on the list, or maybe even further down. We'll get around to serving God when we have a chance. Where is our commitment to God? It's our loyalty to God. You see, loyalty has to come with commitment. We're getting ready to start a New Year's. Anybody here make New Year's resolutions? Well, that's good. I don't make them. I saw a cartoon the other day that said, this year I'm only going to make bad resolutions to do bad things because I never keep them anyway. You know, and most people, they make a New Year's resolution, and do they keep it? Well, maybe for a day or two. You know, January the 10th, it's already long gone and forgotten. But as we're preparing to go into a new year, Where is our commitment to God going to be in 2013? Is our commitment going to be God first? And I know there are some people say you've got to put family first. And God understands there's situations that come up in family that sometimes you've got to take care of them. But it boils down to it. Our commitment should be God first, family second, and then everything else come after that. Because if we put God first, He is going to help us take care of family. As we've stated, it's been a tough year for some. Challenges that you never expected to have to face. I never expected that what I thought was heartburn would put me in the hospital for weeks. And that I would go through the ordeal that I went through this year. But you know what? I've left it in God's hands. And God's taken care of us. And I'll have to say at one point, especially when I saw the hospital bill, the very first hospital bill, I looked at it and said, God, why didn't you let me die? At least they'd have the insurance to pay this bill, you know. But God's taking care of things. And we look and we lose income, but God has taken care of things. If we turn our lives over to God and we commit ourselves to God, we commit our ways to Him, we commit our thoughts to Him, God will take care of us. Christmas time, as parents, we want to take care of our children. We want to see that they get nice presents. We want to see that they get what their heart desires in most cases. Sometimes we can do it, sometimes we can't, but we try. Think about that. The Bible tells us if we give good gifts to our children, how much more will God give good gifts to His children? And who are we if we are born-again Christians? I don't care if you say you're a Christian. If you're not a born-again Christian, you just might as well drop that word out of your vocabulary. Because He is talking about those who have made that commitment and said, Jesus, come into my life. Let the blood that was shed on the cross of Calvary wash away those sins and make me your child. When we have become His child, He is also committed to us. Do you ever think about that? Just as we should be committed to God, God has committed Himself to us. He has said He's going to take care of His children. And even as earthly parents, sometimes we go through hardships taking care of our children. And sometimes some things that we don't want to have to go through to take care of our children. Maybe sometimes we go through some trials that our kids got into because of circumstances that happened, things they did that shouldn't have done. But we try to take care of them still. I remember sitting on jury duty one time, and the young man is accused of robbing people at gunpoint as they're driving down the street, he and his buddy. And his mama gets up on the stand, oh, it wasn't my son. He was at home with me. But you see, they got pictures of him that match all the descriptions and everything. He was there. But mama was trying to take care of her son, even if she had to get up and lie about it. And I'm not saying that's the way you take care of your kids. You take care of your kids by being honest. Sometimes they need to spend a little time going through some changes in their life to make them better. But God will take care of us. And as God takes care of us, sometimes we will have to go through some hardships. And we will have to go through some trials. There is not one place in God's Word that says that when you become a child of God that everything is going to be hunky-dory. And it's all going to be great from that point on. The way I read it, and the way it shows in there, every one of those who committed themselves to God went through some hardships and they went through some trials, some of them to the point of even having to put their life on the line. And the day may come here in America sooner than we think that we as Christians may have to put our life on the line to be committed to Him. But are we committed? If nothing else, in 2013, let us make a pledge, a commitment, that we will be committed to serving God to the best of our ability with all that we've got in us, with all that's in our being. God's not going to ask you for more to do than what you can do. And if you make a commitment to Him, He's going to help you to honor that commitment. Because He wants you to be successful. He wants you to not fail because you're His child. And He wants to look down and say, that's my child. You see Christopher down there. He got a job, man. He's doing good. His employer is proud of him. Says he's a good worker. God's proud of you when you're doing His work. When you're doing your best to be successful for Him. When you're doing your best to live for Him. And be a good witness for Him. Commitment. Do we have commitment? The synonyms for the word commitment are adhesion, allegiance, attachment, fidelity, constancy, dedication, devotedness, devotion, faith, faithfulness, fastness, fealty, loyalty, piety, steadfastness, and troth. All of these words, when Kevin and Brittany stood here on this platform and pledged their troth one to another, they made a commitment one to another. And even though their pledges that they made to one another may not have said, I commit myself to this or that, they were pledging that they were going to be there for each other. Till when? Basically, till death do us part. Or Jesus comes, whichever comes first. So you're stuck with each other. God expects us, when we make that commitment, to honor our commitments to Him. We've pledged ourselves, God, I'm committed to You. Then He expects us to keep that commitment to Him. Instead of at the first opportunity, oh, well, something else came along, God. I'll call You when I need You. I got news. If we're committed to God, we'll probably have less call you when they need you type situations come along. Because God's going to be looking out for us. Yeah, some of it may be that 11th hour, that last minute. Some of it may be 11 hours and 59 minutes and 59 seconds. But He takes care of us. Amen? Amen. And Father, today I just ask if there are those that hear this message and somewhere else, Father, by CD or through the internet or however they may hear it, Father, that, Father, someone here that is not really living for You the way they need to be, Father, they've kind of slacked off. I just pray, Father, that You'd help them to commit their lives to You, Father, that they will make a pledge that in 2013 and for the rest of their life, Father, that they will be dedicated, they will be committed to serving You. And, Father, I thank You for these things. We have asked it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.